Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, as I speak today, I pray that you would increase as I decrease. May you be glorified in and through my life. In Jesus' name, amen. A very good morning. What time is it? Good afternoon to you all. I bring greetings from a land of 31 states, 1,618 major languages, 6,400 castes, 6 major religions, 6 ethnic groups, 29 major festivals, and a population of 1.2 billion, and all in one country, India. First of all, I would like to thank Almighty God for this opportunity, because if not Him, today I wouldn't have been here, and I want to give all glory to Him. And secondly, I would like to thank the ministers and the High Kirk family for giving me this opportunity to come and talk. And it's a privilege. I feel at home. I don't feel that I'm in a foreign country. I don't feel like a stranger. I feel a part of you, and I know it's because the people of Ireland are good. The other day on Friday, it so happened that I asked someone, "I haven't seen any police here. Why is that?" And this person says, "Yeah, because we are all good, and that's why you don't see any police." So, of course, yes, I know people are good here. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. I would happily say, if somebody asks me, what is the verse of your life? And I will say 2 Corinthians 5:14, because it is the love of God that compels me to be who I am today and to do what He wants me to do and to do what I am doing today. 2,000 years ago, it was love that made God send His only begotten Son to this world to die for us. And it is all about love. In India, people say love is God. The Word of God says God is love. But love cannot be God in terms of the worldly views. But love can be God. You know why? Because Jesus is love. Because God is love. This morning, I want to talk to you 4 things from this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. And the first thing is, Paul is compelled, motivated by the love of Christ. What does the word compel mean? It means to hem in, to hold on both sides, to take away options. Paul says that the love of Christ takes away our options, backs us into a corner, holds us firmly on both sides, and gives us no way out. When we become motivated like that, we become a great power for God's glory and for the world's blessing. The love of Christ gives us no options. It's no way out. We know this is what we have to do, and we cannot back off. And Paul was compelled, and he was motivated by the love of Christ. Paul was compelled because he understood that while we were still sinners, God demonstrated His love towards us in Christ's death. And this morning, I would like to tell you the story about my dad. And before that, I would like to introduce you my family. And in the middle, right in the middle, is my dad, Mark Jayakumar. And the lady with the small boy, she's my mom, Francina, and we are 5 girls and 1 boy. We have a very little brother, and that's me, Jennifer, Jessica, Janet, Joyce, and Judy, and Caleb. And I'm married. I don't think I look like I'm married. I've been married for almost 2 years. And that's me with my husband, Jason. I hope you'd recognize me. And beside me is my sister, Jessica, with her husband, Stephen. And I'm, you know, I can boldly say it is the love of God that compels us. We are compelled and motivated by the love of Jesus Christ. In the year 1964, there was a woman who gave birth to a son, and she was in the hospital for 3 days. And after 3 days, this woman went missing, and the baby was abandoned. It was just left alone, lying in the hospital. And the nurses and doctors, they searched for the mother, but the mother was to be found nowhere. And the doctors and nurses took care of the baby boy for 3 months. But, you know, they thought, we no longer can take care. We want to get rid of this baby. And it so happened one day that a missionary couple happened to visit this hospital, and the doctors tell them, here's a baby, do you want to take him? And they say, yes, of course, we would like to take him. So they took him to the children's home, which they were running, and he grew up there at the age of 18. They tell him the story, and the story goes like this. They say, you were born to a prostitute, and you were an unwanted child, and your mother didn't need you. And there was one sentence that really hit his life, hit his mind. And that was, they said, Mark, you were not man's choice, but you are God's choice. And that's why you are here today. And that struck my father's heart. And that was when he sensed the Lord telling him to take care of many children in India who are abandoned, destitute, and orphaned children. We've had children, babies, who, you know, who came when they were babies. They were 3 days old, 1 week old, and 1.5 month old babies who came to our doorstep. And, you know, some we don't know who their parents are, but, you know, there was one lady who came and she said that, you know, here's a baby, do you want her? And, you know, she just gave that baby to us. So we've had children, orphan children, and we have children who come from a very poor background. The parents are not able to feed them even one meal per day. And, you know, God has helped us to take care of many children. We have had children who grew up and who have gone out and who are working, and who are mighty testimony in the society, in the community. So, you know, when the Lord spoke to him, that's when we started the children homes, and we have 2 orphanages currently, and we have more than 60 children whom we are looking after. And that's where the High Kirk India team had come this year, early in January. And this is the story of my dad, and that's what changed him. And he's an inspiration to me. And let's look at the second thing the passage speaks to us. It says that we are motivated because we are convinced. We need to be motivated. It's not an outward motivation, but it's something to do inside. And the Word of God continues. It says, He died for all, that all those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Who lives in us? Christ lives in us. When we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, it's no longer I, but it's Him. It's all about Jesus. And Paul was motivated because he was convinced that Jesus died for him. Today, I want us all to, I know we are convinced, I know we are motivated, but we need to get it again deep within ourselves that we know that Jesus died for us. Jesus died for me. And I would like to tell you a story about a girl. In the year 1989, there was a missionary couple, and they got their first child, and a girl baby was born, and they brought her up under strict Christian discipline. And as this girl grew up, she happened to see a lot of Christian missionary activities were going on, helping her parents and so on. But, this girl lacks something in her life. In India, people are not so friendly, and they don't shake. It's strange. Like they don't shake hands, but they say namaste, and it would be very rude if somebody hugs them. That's our culture, and people are not so friendly. If you'd come to India and if you would smile, people would just look at you, and it would be an offense unless they know you in person. They would not respond to your smile even. So, it's very different. And this girl's parents, her dad was an orphan. So she didn't have any relatives from her dad's side. And her mom was put out of her house because of her faith in Jesus. She accepted Christ and became a Christian. So from her mom's side, like, she didn't have any relatives. And she always used to look at her friends in school, and they had relatives. And whenever there was vacation, they would go to their native place, and they would have fun during festivals. But this girl didn't have anything like that in her life. And that's what made her feel long for love much more. But at the age of 8, it so happened one night while she was in her third grade that the Lord spoke to her. And that night she went and she knelt down before God and she said, "Jesus, as long as I live in this world, I will serve you. And I also want to serve people." Because Mother Teresa has been an inspiration to her towards social work, as well as Jesus Christ, who was the ideal person of her life. And she dedicated her life to the service of God. But when she was a baby, or when she was born, her parents dedicated her to the Lord for the Lord's service. But what happened was, as the years went by, she longed for love even more, and she tried to she sought the love in people, but no man could give her that love. And she sought the love in things of the world, but nothing could satisfy her. Nothing made her feel loved. And she grew up to become very rebellious, and she became very self-centered, and she wanted to do what she wanted to do. At the age of 15, she decided that she wanted to become an anesthesiologist, and she wanted to settle in America, get married to an American, earn enough money, and just live happily. And she was just thinking about herself, and she had forgotten about her call or what she had dedicated to the Lord. But not soon, her life wasn't better anymore. And she, after college, she continued to do her medicine, and it so happened that everything was messed up. Whatever she wanted to do ended up in failure, and it just didn't make any sense. And there came a day in her life that she thought, this is the end of her life. There's no hope, and this is it. This isn't my life. You know, people said, "You are a mistake. You were accidentally born in this world. You shouldn't have been born to your parents. You are good for nothing, and you are just useless." And this is what people said. And people looked down on her. Her friends left her. Everything, was taken from her. And she was just left alone. And she thought, okay, this is the end. I no longer have a hope. And she decided to kill herself, and she tried to commit suicide several times, but she didn't lose her life. Something saved her. Something, didn't let her die. And when she was completely broken, when man said, "We don't love you," the same Jesus whom she had went away from, and the same love which she thought is nothing came in search of her. That one day, she realized that God loved her, and she found that love in Jesus. And she, when people said, "We don't need you," she felt Jesus saying, I need you. You know, that was when she gave her mistaken life, a life of mistake to God, and a messed up life to Jesus. And you know what? Jesus changed the mistake into a miracle. And her life, you know, a life full of mess has become a life of message today to people around the world. And this girl is none other than me standing before you. And yeah, I'm not a perfect angel. I had a bad past. And but today I stand because of Jesus. And I'm here to say, if any of you, if people would have told you, you're good for nothing, if you think that you're good for nothing, you're useless, I'm here to say, you are not. You are called to be a miracle in someone's life. And you can give, no matter what blunder you would have committed in your life, especially young people, I want to say that you can give your life to Jesus and see what he can do. God's word says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and not to harm you. And God's got great plans for each one of you over here as well as the church here. The third thing we see here in this passage is, before I go to the third thing I want to say, the work that we do back in India, it's not only the children home, we have church planting works, we work with people, though there's a lot of persecution, we are not giving up, we are pressing forward because we know Jesus makes the difference in people's lives. And we give, you know, though we don't have much money, we don't have anything in us, but we have Jesus to give people. So this is about our work. And the third point is we are compelled by a new perspective on people. Verse 16 says, so from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. You know, Saul was later known as Paul. He saw Christians, the disciples, as accursed. And he saw Christianity, Jesus, as a foreign god, a false religion, and he was persecuting. But when Jesus transformed his life, his whole perspective changed, his whole perspective on the disciples. And the same thing must happen in us, in our lives, if we have Jesus, if Jesus has transformed us. You know, sometimes we, you know, when we look at people, our neighbors or probably people next to you, you might think it's very weird, strange, funny. Sometimes those people might annoy you. They might get you mad and you say, I hate this person. I don't like him. But that's what we think, we feel. But you know what? We need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Paul looked at the disciples through the eyes of Jesus. When you see your neighbor, when you see people in your workplace, when you see them through the eyes of Jesus, and you'd see a lot of difference, and you can make an impact in their lives. And it so happened when I was up in northern part of Karnataka state, I happened to meet this girl, and I would like to tell her story later. But you know, there was all options for me not to help her, to look down on her, or just to ignore her. But the love of God didn't let me do that. Before I rededicated my life to God, you know, I used to look at people the way they were. But when Jesus changed me, the way I look at people is very different. He changed. Look people through the eyes of Jesus. I will tell our story later. And let's go to the fourth point. And it says that we are hemmed in by a serious commitment. Verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. You know, what on earth am I here for? I want you all to ask yourself, what on earth am I here for? Why am I here? And I want you to answer that yourself. But the word of God says, we are here as God's messengers. We are not here for ourselves. We are here for him. We are his voice and we are his channel. And, you know, we are here for him and to do things for him. 20 years ago, it so happened when my dad was traveling up to northern part of Karnataka on the work with regard to the children home. After his work, he got into the bus at the bus station, and he saw some young girls, small girls, coming and telling, "Brother, come." And they were asking him to come. And he wasn't sure why they were calling him. And he asked the person who took him there, "Who are they? Why are they calling me?" That's when he told them that they were temple prostitutes, that they were calling him, for all the other purposes and to make money. And that broke my dad's heart. And that made him to go behind the bus. And he knelt down and he told God, "God, if it is your will, give me a ministry to work with the temple prostitutes." 20 years later, God calls his daughter to this work. I was traveling in a bus. That's when the Lord opened my eyes to see what's happening in my state. And I was really broken. For days, I was weeping. And I felt a part of me missing. I couldn't see the cruelty that's happening in my country with my people. And what challenged me was, from my childhood, I've been seeing people looking down on me, because in India, girls are considered less than gold. Gold is valued more than girls, and cows are valued more than girls. And I've seen how girls are treated. So that has always broken my heart. That's been a challenge in me. That I want to see God raising up girls, girls turning to be history makers, world challengers and world changers. And when God gave me this vision, I was so humbled, and I didn't have a clue. And, you know, but I told God, "God, here I am. I just have myself. I don't even have a single penny that I own. And here I am. Use me, God. I know that this vision is bigger than me, but I know you're bigger than my vision." And I told God, "You provide me. I'm here. You can do anything with me." And I gave my life to serve God with this cause. It is a very dangerous work, but I can take any risk for my God. He gave his own son. Jesus gave his life for me. And I know that this one life is for Jesus. And I give this life to God. And that's when I started to do research. I went and lived in places where this temple prostitute lived, and I have stories after stories to tell. But one such story is about this girl, Nagamani. And one day, as I was at home, Nagamani comes, and a pastor brings her, and, you know, I just saw her, and I asked the pastor, what is it? And the pastor says that this girl was born to a temple prostitute. Her mother was a Devadasi. Devadasi means slaves of God. And he said that her mom passed away because of HIV. And this girl has two older brothers who are married. And these brothers have decided that they are going to, you know, have this girl sleep with men at their house to make money. And so that, you know, they can survive, they can have some livelihood. And this girl didn't want that. But she had no other option, because she doesn't have a father and she has no place to go. She can't, in India, we cannot, a girl is safe only when she is married and if her husband is good, who treats her well. And, you know, I was deeply touched and moved, and I was broken. And then I went and I spoke to her brothers. And at first they were very arrogant and they said, "No, we want money. And what do you think?" And they said all sorts of things. But then I just prayed. I went back home, prayed again. I went and met them and I told them, "See, she's a girl and you don't have to get her married. You don't have to worry about her." Because they think, you know, when I told you that we have five girls and one boy, you always just very cool. But back in India, if you say, you know, at time of birth, if it's a girl, or the men, you know, they'd be so frightened, they'd be so scared. What if girl is born? Because to get her married, they have to pay dowry, and they think girls as a burden. In India, if I say five girls, "Oh, five girls you have. How are you going to get them married? How do you manage with them?" And, you know, they consider my family as a cursed family because we are all five girls. So I told them, you don't have to worry about her. I will take care of her. And I will get her married to a good man too. But I didn't have a place for her to stay. And I had to leave her with a pastor friend of mine. And she is with them. So there are stories, and you know, if the women are interested, tomorrow evening I'd be able to share more and give you more information. And if there's anyone who has questions, you can feel free to come and ask me questions after the service. You have heard a lot from me today. Even if you I've forgotten most of the things, one thing I don't want you to forget is Jesus. You know, I've been talking about love. And I want to say, Jesus is the love that compels. If there's anyone here, you know, who hasn't invited Jesus to be the personal Savior, I encourage you to do that today. Jesus changes lives. Man may fail you, but Jesus never fails. Before I conclude, I want to acknowledge and appreciate the High Kirk India team for their work. On behalf of the children, as well as Rays of Peace Ministries and Indians, as Indians and India, I want to say you have done a remarkable thing. You are changing lives. Though it's a short stay, it has made a great impact. And not only the team, but I also want to acknowledge, most of the time we forget to, I want to acknowledge and appreciate their spouses who have sent them. It takes a lot of courage to do that. And, I highly appreciate you. If it wasn't you, then, you know, they couldn't have made it. And thank you for sending them, as well as I want to thank the church for sending them. I want you to know that their work in India is really making an impact. And I also don't want to forget one person whom I really feel very proud, and that's Steve Morris. For a foreigner to come to India, and that too to travel on a motorbike to villages long distance, it's not so easy. But when I saw him, last time was the first time I saw him in January when he had come to meet the team at Sasalu. I was so amazed, and I was just looking at him, till he left. How could he, travel in a motorbike? It's not safe, but he did it. And hats off to you. I appreciate all that, for introducing them to us. And it's a great thing that you've been doing. And I want to say that, Christmas is approaching. If we don't have Jesus, it's all about Jesus' birth, Jesus coming into this world. But if we don't get Jesus right into our lives, it doesn't make any sense. Of course, we decorate the house, we have good food, and we give gifts. Santa comes. I met Santa the other day, and I was awestruck. I was speechless for a few minutes. And then I say, Robert. And Santa comes and gives gifts, and sometimes he surprises us. But, in all these things, if we don't get the real meaning of Christmas, it doesn't make any sense. And I want you all, this Christmas must be a special Christmas in your lifetime and make a difference. Though you don't have many things, you have one valuable thing that is, that doesn't perish, and that's Jesus. I challenge you all to make a difference this Christmas in your workplace, and in your church, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your schools and colleges. And don't forget that Jesus loves you and he never fails you. Jesus is the love that compels. God bless you. Let us bow down in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray that today we would get that deep in our hearts. And Lord, we'd be channels of his love. Lord, this Christmas, help us to make an impact in the lives of people, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we would understand the love of God. And Lord Jesus, Lord, that we would make impact in our neighborhood. And Lord, we pray that you would bless each and everyone over here. Continue to use them. May there be a miracle in somebody's life today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before I get down, I just want to say, you don't have to come to India to make an impact. You don't have to be in India or out of Ireland to make a difference. You can make a difference. You can be a miracle wherever you are. And God bless you.